This is a Triple J podcast.
It's been a big week, right from the get-go. Very intense time in the headlines. Welcome to the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. If you've been steering clear of the news for the past few days, I don't really blame you. It's been very, very intense. But let's pull apart some of the stories of the week right now, decompress a little. Here's a bit of a taste of what's coming up.
Hack.
The whole community is still going through this trauma and we need each other right now.
Caitlin Clark was the number one pick in the WNBA draft and is now the number one most underpaid person on the planet.
When you're dating somebody, really take into consideration if they're the oldest child or the youngest.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we're getting into the Caitlin Clark basketball contract saga. Have you been across this? If you haven't, you're probably going to start seeing some commentary around it. Joe Biden has weighed in, says female athletes need to be paid what they deserve. Weighing into this fury around Clark's WNBA contract, I want to know what you reckon. Later, we're talking birth order. Are you a first child? A first daughter in particular? Do you feel like your view of the world is a lot different than younger siblings? We're going to be getting into something called first daughter syndrome. Keen to hear your take. But before we get into any of that, let's meet the Shake Up crew for this week. Back again, co-host of the Big Small Talk pod, Sarah Jane Adams. Sestre, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Massive week.
Huge
news
week.
News-wise. Are you like everyone else in the media just...
exhausted?
Yeah, ready for Saturday.
Yeah, I would
Saturday.
Say that.
It's been so big. So feeling a little depleted maybe, but also ready for the weekend.
I think so.
Okay, we love that. Also, joining us again, old mate. We love old mate.
I heard you can't say that anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
I retract. So I stop saying that. Journalist, podcaster, that's how you'll be known from now on. Marty Smiley, you're back. Martino, what's going on?
Mate, your favourite old mate is here. He's back.
Trying to cancel me in my first 30 seconds.
I can't remember the reason, but perhaps it was ageist. But I was thinking, oh, I don't know about that one. It's a really classic way to refer to someone when you just have forgotten their name.
Yeah, I use it for everyone.
Is that the controversy, that they think that you've just forgotten the name?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, I'm not sure.
It's rude to them. Yeah, maybe that's why.
Do you think I'm rude to you sometimes?
Most of the time, yeah.
Marty, any favourite news stories of the week? Was there anything that stuck out at you?
Favourite news stories?
Well, like anything in particular. No, like...
Yeah, there was the two birds. It was a Guardian article.
I have to
article.
Be a little more specific than that.
Two birds, different species, breed. I just got it in the group chat today.
Okay.
Unlikely friendship. And they just posted in the group chat just saying, bit of good news. And that's the kind of week we've had, I think, where...
So it's just two unlikely friendship. Okay.
Yeah, it was just two birds at a zoo and they got to or a sanctuary and one was like a lorikeet and the other one was a parrot and they were not meant to get along, but they get along like a house on fire.
Star-crossed lovers. I didn't know that was a thing.
How is this not the headline? Yeah. You haven't done your research.
Yeah, you're like, I did think
we're going to throw out the shake-up topic, start again. No, speaking of weird news stories this week, or funnier, lighter news stories, mm-hmm. I saw this one, I don't know whether you guys saw, about an art collective in the US, and they're selling replica Picasso sculptures, right? So they're selling these sculptures, replicas of Picasso, for a couple of $100 each. However, one of them that they're selling could be an original Picasso. So you could pick up an original for a couple of $100.
Wow.
Do you find this wild? And they did this a few years ago with a Warhol painting. And yeah, someone picked it up for next to nothing and it was an original.
I would so buy that.
Would you buy it for the risk? Even though that's still a lot of money for a piece of wood.
I would buy it for the story.
Okay.
More than anything. Yeah. To be like, this could be a Picasso, could not.
Right.
I wouldn't even go check.
Wait, do they ever actually find out?
Oh, I don't know. I think you do eventually.
It's sort of like gambling for like people who are interested in art.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that Venn diagram merges very much. Like, so like they've found a way to bring gambling into the art scene. And to that, you've got to tip your hat to them.
It gets in there, doesn't it? Yeah. Everyone gets in there. Well, hey, look, that's one of the weirdest stories I saw this week. Not as weird as the unlikely friendship of the two birds, I must say. But, hey, there's so much other news we've got to get into. So let's crack in.
Hack.
I forgive whoever has done this. And I say to him, you're my son. I love you. And I will always pray for you.
On Triple J.
Yeah, the week started with the devastating fallout from the Bondi Junction shopping centre attack in Sydney. Then on Monday, another attack, this time inside a church. A teenager's been charged with a terrorism offence related to that. All week, there have been people praised as heroes or condemned by the media, some mistakenly. There have been riots, calls for calm. It's been a lot to take in.
Hack.
There's nothing I can say that can take away the pain that my son has caused.
The French national who people saw such bravery in on Saturday. You are welcome to stay for as long as you like.
Seven had the wrong guy.
Without even the slightest thought put into fact-checking.
And have this happen in a church.
And the night just unfortunately got out of hand.
I'm doing fine, recovering very quickly. We thank the Lord Jesus.
We will get through this difficult period, that there are better days ahead.
On Triple J.
Yeah, a lot of people saying they've found it pretty hard to keep up with the news this week, everything that's happened in Australia but overseas as well. If that's you, you've decided to check out for a bit. Keen to hear how you've found that. If you think it's helped you, message in 0439 757 555. We're going to talk a bit about what's happened over the past few days, though. It's the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the headlines with podcasters Sarah Jane Adams and Marty Smiley. SJ, did you find yourself pretty affected by these attacks in Sydney over the past week? Like something you've been talking about a lot, I imagine at work, but also maybe with mates as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We covered it on the podcast this week. And we've spoken about it pretty much nonstop with friends. It happened 5 minutes up the road from me. You know, you have mutual friends, so it did dominate a lot of conversations. And it's been hard. I think working in news, you get so used to being able to compartmentalize. Mm. And this week was definitely tougher to be able to do that, I think.
What about you, Marty? Is it something that, you know, you've been talking a lot to friends about? Did you find yourself really affected by what's happened in Sydney?
I was in Melbourne at the time. But it's always scary when you get a text from a friend and it asks if you're okay, or you know, in the group chat, it's asking like, is anyone in Bondi? Mm. That's what alerted me to what was going on in the first place. Yeah. So yeah, I think these moments in time are often very scary and makes you question about, how safe we are.
SJ, what did you think of the media's coverage during these kind of events, because it's been wall to wall.
Yeah.
Any reflections on that?
I mean, I think it would be hard not to mention the Channel 7 stuff up of misidentifying who the killer was. But I also just think what really struck me as the most uncomfortable was how these horrific images surfaced on Twitter, on social media really quickly, and then were then used by different outlets, obviously without, like, I just felt like that wasn't right with who the victims and their families. And it also just was like an interesting example of how social media can get out of hand and citizen journalism as well. It was, yeah.
There was also a lot of discussion this time around, I say this time after such a big attack, it felt like maybe the families of some of the victims were taking back power or trying to take back power by saying, we don't authorise for you to publish that picture. Mm. And, you know, obviously a lot of media outlets didn't respect, some did, which was good to see. Marty, do you think that there's a change happening in the way that media are covering big events like this, tragedies, that maybe there's a bit more nuance around it? The same around mental health. Elfie Scott wrote a piece about the importance of speaking with nuance about mental health. Like if you're talking about someone with schizophrenia as being, you know, attacker, alleged attacker, that you're not making blanket statements that are going to isolate.
That just because they suffer from that.
Yes.
Yeah, that they are going to do something like that. Yeah. I think things have changed in the way we report on these things. And I do think that if to speak specifically about Twitter or X and how there were many accounts and videos that were posted on the platform that really, I guess, shouldn't, and then were amplified by broadcast media, that has become a bit of a norm. And I think the thinking around it is that if it appears elsewhere, then it's fair game for it to be broadcast. And I think that's not a great sort of approach.
Yeah.
And it leads to the watering down of what should be a strong media in Australia, where we respect laws and also the how the family feels, the victims' families. And I don't think we have done a great job of that. And yeah. when these things happen, I often think about my role in the media and what we can do better, because I think it's a very fractured system right now. It may be at this point in time, I think the way information is spread is really maybe the worst that I've seen.
Well, I guess, I mean, there's also power in having other media outlets, whether it's other media brands, independent brands, podcasts are able to provide their own analysis, an alternative view, also call out maybe bigger brands who are doing the wrong thing. Mm. There's power in that, SJ, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And people kind of, your audience would be seeking out stuff like that.
Yeah, and we did on the podcast this week raise criticism, especially of how they went and interviewed the parents so quickly off the killer. And this man was so distraught, and it really didn't sit right with me personally, the way they capitalized on that sensational media when it wasn't the ethical thing to do in that very moment.
Yeah. The other interesting part of all of this was the Bollard man angle of this story, the Frenchman Damien Gouraud, who was granted permanent residency for facing off.
Is Bollard a French word? Like, it sounds like Bollard. Bollard,
it could be. It could be. So granted permanent residency, Anthony Albanese, Peter Dutton, both praising him. The French president as well.
Macron?
Macron got in and said, well done. Security guard Mohamed Taha as well, mm-hmm. who has been granted a permanent visa today, I think, for his help. What do you think of this situation, Marty? Like, on the surface, it seems really nice that people are like rewarded for really good behavior. But then other people are saying, oh, if it's that easy to be offering people residency or security in their, you know, bid to stay in Australia, why isn't it happening a bit more?
I think during these times when you have really traumatic events happen, people look to affirm people who are involved, who were either victims of the attack or did something, that is so-called heroic, that we try to make figures out of them to make sense of what is really difficult to make sense of. So I can see why the Prime Minister did something like that, but he obviously stepped in it in some ways because he forgot about the security guard who was stabbed. So I think it shows our propensity often, because there's a debate about immigration levels in the country at the moment, how quickly politicians can be to use immigration as a wedge. And I think that's been shown through decades, the way we think about often the term of like a bad migrant versus a good migrant. And often people like Mohammed, they become voiceless because we're deeming either them to be appropriate or not appropriate. In this instance, that came up because they were using the issue to talk to both Dutton and Albanese about who should be allowed to stay. And I think that's how often the debate goes in Australia. Like, we're the ones granting the visas sometimes.
Mm. Got some messages coming through. Someone on that, I'm wondering how the PM can step in to let some people stay after these events, but the government says it can't help others. Someone else on the text line says, I've honestly just become so desensitized by all the awful news in the headlines that it took me days to truly grapple with the gravity of the Bondi attack. And another person says, we spend a week avoiding the media because people dwell on the emotional impact. Then we continue to talk about the emotional impact it's had on everyone. Just move on with the other news, is what someone said. Well, look, hey, that's a fair point. And, remember Lifeline as well. If this has, affected anyone, or you're struggling with some of the stuff that you've been consuming over the past few days, you can always call them on 13 11 14. Good note, I reckon, to move on.
Pack, $338,000 seems like a pretty good deal till you find out the contract is 4 f***ing years.
On Triple J.
She's a record-breaking athlete, the number one pick in this year's WNBA draft, the all-time leading scorer in men's and women's college basketball. Her performances have led to record viewing figures in the USA, millions tuning in to watch her. Caitlin Clark is all over the headlines at the moment because everyone from Joe Biden down is outraged over her salary.
Hack.
Caitlin Clark got drafted yesterday.
With the first pick, Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
I've dreamed of this moment since I was in second grade.
Her salary is abysmal. For 4 years, she's going to get paid $338,000.
It doesn't seem right. It seems like robbery.
The women have the headlines, they have the fans, they have the viewers. When the hell are they going to get paid?
On Triple J.
Yeah, what do you think of this one? Caitlin Clark sells out venues without having ever played a WNBA game. So popular. But her four-year contract is worth $524,000 a year compared with the last NBA number one pick who got $86 million over 4 years. What do you make of this? Are you a Caitlin Clark fan? Or you've never heard of her but have jumped on the bandwagon this week to support the cause because you're outraged? Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in as well, 0439 757 555. It's the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the news with Sarah Jane Adams from the Big Small Talk pod and journalist Marty Smiley. SJ, the more I read about this story, the wilder it gets. An athlete who's so popular in the US getting such a rough deal.
I know. Isn't that just it? Like, the Caitlin Clark effect, what she has done is so incredible. And it's also not the first big moment we've had in female sport. We've had this in other generations. We've had Serena Williams. And every time you think, this is going to be the tipping point, this is when they're going to take women's sport seriously. And then it's like everyone gets collective amnesia and the momentum doesn't stay. And I really hope this time is different because she is incredible and what she's done is pretty unprecedented.
I know people are going to be listening going, hold on, $500,000, $500,000 contract. But, I mean, it's over 4 years and people are pointing out it's a little more than $100,000 Australian for their first year. And so people on TikTok have been firing off being like, I earn more than Caitlin Clark, like, you know, for doing my job. I think, like, for the popularity of this athlete who's, you know, sports jersey or whatever was the most sold out, like the most popular in recent history, one of her games this year attracted the biggest audience ESPN has had for any basketball game, men or women's. Extraordinary. Marty, what do you make of this one?
Pay her more. Let's get...
Case closed.
Let's get pay parity going in the WNBA.
But it's also some of the stuff that kind of is baffling is some of the NBA like mascots earn more. The people in the animal costumes, which I'm not like, good job, but what?
It's sort of like what seems to be the constant debate with pay in women's sports is that people argue that in order to pay the women more or the players more, there needs to be more people watching. And then they're like, okay, so then how do you get more people to watch? And then the people inside the organization say, well, we need better support and funding. So I think it's a bit of the chicken, the egg. I think when you have someone like Biden tweeting that basically in support, I think that's a pretty good sign that maybe the tide could turn where it happened with the US soccer team. I think it would be great to have more attention on this so that you could actually see some meaningful change happen so that, as you said, SJ, we're not talking about it again in 10 years when maybe an Australian is the first in the draft and, you know, we're supporting that and realising that there's a pay disparity again.
Someone on the text line says, the WNBA don't actually have a lot of money to deal with. They're currently subsidised by the NBA, given that they're currently operating at a loss. Someone's take there. Let's go to someone who's called in. Stephen's on the line. Stephen, what do you think of this contract that, you know, Caitlin Clark's been offered?
How you going, mate? Yeah, look, I think it's quite rubbish, to be honest. They're professional athletes. They should get paid more. Like, I make 120 grand a year and I'm at home. So, if you think about it, over 4 years, I'm making more money than her.
It's wild, isn't it? I mean, how many viewers do you draw into ESPN, Stephen, when you're playing?
Mate, if I could draw any crowd, I'd be happy. But yeah,
hey, you got to start live streaming whatever it is you're doing.
Hey, we'll get the listener numbers for this shake up. Who knows? You might have drawn in a record.
I just think they deserve more. I mean, like, they're just not recognised. If you think about it, if you break that down, yes, they're guaranteed that money over their contract, but I'm working five on, five off. I'm home every day, so I don't have to fly in, fly out. I'm making, if not the same money.
Well, Steve, you got a good deal.
I would say get into the sport. You wouldn't be able to join the women's team, unfortunately. But
yeah. Oh, interesting. SJ, I don't know. I mean, there are people out there saying, well, hold on, she's raking it in with the endorsement deals.
got, you know, Nike, Gatorade. Yeah,
she's going to have a big Nike deal coming through.
Like it's, she but does. She does. They're like eight-figure deals. So people are like, well, she's still rich, so does it actually matter?
But is that fair that the endorsements have to make up for the lack of pay that they should have had in the first place? Like, I mean, they'd say with the endorsement they'd be earning is she'd be earning as much as the guys, but then you're not considering that the guys have endorsements on top of theirs as well.
She's also the number one draft pick, so there's a lot of draft picks underneath her who aren't getting eight-figure Nike deals.
Do you think it's good we're talking about it, though? I mean, that's the one element of this, I guess, that, you know, it is something whenever there's a pay dispute now, it makes headline news. Like, it's top of the headlines, which is one thing. I mean, everyone's been weighing into it. Joe Biden felt that he had to say something.
He's having a Matilda's moment.
Yeah. Well, he said, right now we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. SJ, do you think politicians care about this stuff, or do you think they're really good at capitalising on a moment when a lot of the time in a situation like this, they can't do too much?
Yeah, I'm thrilled he's awake to make that tweet. That's awesome.
Hey-oh! Oh, SJ, with the comment.
I'm kidding. I think, I mean, it's always great to hear it from someone who does have a lot of power and influence, and we do need to keep making noise on this, so I think it's kind of grateful for anything. But yes, I think there's an element of capitalising on it.
Yeah, right.
I think it's astounding that politicians, when they're considering women's issues, always remind us of their daughters. I think that's what's
through the
key.
Lens of their own. Yeah.
So otherwise, how could we really think about this?
Criticism of former Prime Minister Scott Morrison for the same issue a few years ago. Some more messages coming through. Someone says endorsements are the sport equivalent of tipping culture. Pay your workers decent wages, that person says on the text line. Another person says, how can we expect women to choose to play competitive sport if they get paid like this? Mm. And another person says, she's not underpaid. Men are overpaid. I mean, do you think of that argument, Marty?
I am a massive NBA fan. So I'm like, whatever they're paying them, as long as they keep playing like they're playing and we get to keep seeing what we're seeing and keep it as it is. But I do think it is, if you do look at their wages, it's exorbitant. Like
it's crazy.
It is unbelievable. It's eye-watering amounts.
$86 million.
So I don't think it's that fair to like, they're not a like-for-like comparison. Mm. So when we're considering this kind of thing, it's more about how do you make this job actually sustainable to the women who are playing and who want to play at a really high level and entertain people?
Yeah. Someone on the text line says, yeah, she deserves more, but does anybody think $86 million in the men's camp is absolutely ridiculous? A lot of comments on this one. Time to move on, though. Back.
This daughter needs to date an older son because I'm done taking care of people. Like, I want to be taken care of. I want to be a princess.
On Triple J.
Are you an eldest child or an oldest daughter in particular? Do you live with eldest daughter syndrome? Something that's getting a lot of airtime at the moment. Eldest daughters talking about the challenges, expectations put on them, shouldering the responsibility, looking after younger siblings. Apparently, it can make you resent your other brothers and sisters. Big thing. Birth order is popping off on socials at the moment. Therapists telling you who you're compatible with, who you're not. Can an eldest child be in a relationship with another eldest child? Some say no. Is that you? Does it work? Or do you feel like it's a power battle? Two eldest children trying to have a relationship. Do you feel like you and your siblings have had different experiences through life based on your birth order? I'm very keen to hear from you on this one. 1-300-055-536. Message in 0439-757-555. It's the Shake Up on Hack. I'm joined by Sarah Jane Adams and Marty Smiley. Marty, which sibling are you?
I'm the youngest. Could you tell?
Oh, that's so predictable.
I did say that. There we go. It's like when I tell people my star sign.
Oh, what is it then?
Say Gemini. It. Oh. Everyone goes, so it checks out.
SJ's like, oh, red flags, So do you buy into all this, Marty?
So yeah, I'm the most spoiled and I had it the easiest, never got the wooden spoon.
Good that you recognise it, though.
Yeah.
It's the
1920s, apparently.
Yeah, I reckon you're like a middle child, Dan.
Do you? Yeah. Actually, that's interesting. SJ, what energy am I giving at the moment? Oh, say what you want.
I think you're middle child.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Is middle child like the selfless one, the one that's kind of like...
forgotten child.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Forgotten by everyone. I'm the youngest too.
Oh, there we go.
I'm also the youngest.
See, we have so much in common.
Scheming in the background.
Why.
Little Machiavellian Dave in the background here. SJ, what about you?
I am a middle child.
Oh.
But eldest daughter.
Oh, okay.
So first daughter, middle child. So I think that gives a different dynamic.
Okay, I was going to ask. So we think it's different for girls and boys in terms of the sibling stakes. So if you're the eldest daughter, were you still feeling you had to harbour a lot of responsibility?
Well, I feel like I was the middle child in lots of ways. Right. I don't even know what categorizes that. It's just a being. Like I just was. And then with the eldest child stuff, I think I got elements of it because, like, who was going to organize mum's birthday present? Not them.
Right. That's
me.
So funny.
Like, you know, like,
so
who was going
to
be maternal to the little one, like, to the younger one? Me, you know?
Okay.
I think that's the element of it.
Interesting. You've got someone on the line now. Heather's on the line. Heather, what's your situation?
So I am number 4 out of 6 children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think because I was youngest at the start, it was totally fine. Like, I didn't have any responsibilities. But then when we had 2 more kids, it kind of fell on me a little bit because my siblings are a lot older, so they left the house.
Oh, okay, right. And, like, you've got a partner. Are they the same kind of middle child, youngest? What are they?
So he's the oldest.
Okay.
And he feels like there's more responsibility that he needs to do, so he feels like he needs to take care of all the finances.
Okay, so we're seeing that responsibility play out. That's interesting, Heather, because that's what, you know, all these therapists are saying. You've got to really consider this well. Someone on the text line, Seb, says, totally agree with the firstborn child thing. Another person, Troy from the Central Coast, says, I'm a younger sibling with an elder sibling girlfriend. Hate to admit it, but she definitely babies me. Someone else says, I'm a first child and I kind of feel like I've only dated firstborn women. Not on purpose, just seems to be who I'm drawn to.
Yeah, the dating thing's interesting.
The dating thing's so interesting. And Ebony says, firstborn here, and I've only ever been with firstborns. This is so weird.
Yeah, I think when you say it like that, firstborn, I don't know what it is. It's something about
it. Doesn't seem like right, does
Game
it?
Game of Thrones about it. Yes, yeah. My firstborn child.
First of the name or
I
something.
I only date firstborns.
Yeah, bizarre. Did you find any resentment, SJ? Sorry, this is getting, it's turning into a therapy session now, but
Charlie,
let's
if
unpack
you're
it.
I do resent you. I think that's classic of the younger child. They do get it a little easier, I think, just because I think the parents are just a bit more relaxed by then.
Oh.
And, like, I would have rules, like, I'd have to be home by 10, and then I'd look at the clock, it's midnight, Charlie's not home, where's the equality on that? In conclusion, I'll be starting a fight with my parents.
I'd love Charlie to call in right now. Taryn in Gosford says, eldest granddaughter of a big family had massive control issues and had long-term mismatch with the family baby boy. It was a disaster. And someone says, try being the 10th of 12. Ooh. Yeah, that dynamic must be very intense. Look, that's all we've got time for. That's all over. Crazy. Thank you so much to the Shake Up crew, Sarah Jane Adams, co-host of the Big Small Talk pod. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And after this huge week, you can go and rest, finally.
Yes.
It's been massive.
To a Taylor Swift listening party.
Oh, you've got the Taylor Swift listening party. So many people do. And journalist podcaster Marty Smiley, thank you, Lordship.
Thanks for having me.
Hack on Triple J.
And a huge thanks again to the Shake Up guests. That's all we've got time for on the Shake Up and Hack for this week. I'll be back after the weekend. I'll catch you on Monday. Have a great few days. See ya.